message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us again today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will be a real blessing and help to you. It's our desire to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God, because if you understand it and enjoy it, you'll find that it will go to work in your life and produce in your life the things that all of the struggling and attempting and working and efforts that you might produce never could. It's the Word of God that works in you that believe, that is the power of God and demonstrates the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the believer. Now, as we study, we're going to look again at Romans chapter number 6 today, but as we study in this program week after week here on the message of grace, you'll see, if you stick with us, you'll see that there's a difference between what the Bible really teaches and a lot of what goes on in religion. And we're not promoting a religion. We don't have anything for you to join. We don't have anything for you to be identified with in that sense. We're not promoting a religion. We're promoting a life, a person, a living Savior who will live in you by His Spirit. As you trust His Word and rely upon His Word, then that Word is the vehicle whereby He lives through you. You see, because of the death and the resurrection, because of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have the privilege of being able to present our bodies as the vehicles for God to use, through whom God can live His life and operate today. You and I are able, because of the resurrection of Christ, the life of Christ that's deposited in us, to produce godliness and real, true holiness. Otherwise, it would just be a sham. We're able to produce that from inside, His life living through us. In order to have that as a reality in your life, you have to have an understanding of what it means to walk by faith. Not walk looking at the circumstances or the things around you and interpreting those things on an old man or an old life basis, but looking at the things that happen. And, you know, we talk about reality. You know, reality is not what's going on around you. Reality is how you perceive it and how you understand it when you really get down to it. You can take an event, the same identical event, view it from two different perspectives and have two different views, literally two different understandings about what goes on, two different realities, if you want to say it that way. Well, you can have your thinking and someone else his thinking, and you say, well, that's reality and that's reality. No, what real reality is truth. It's what God says. Now, you know what we do? We take this ability to look at something and create our own reality, and we say, well, then that's what's real. No, you're not God, okay? Now, if you want to be God, you've got the privilege, you go be God. The way you can be God is for you to go out in your front yard, step out in the street, out in front of your house, and create you a universe. And when you create you a universe, just step into your universe that you created, and then you can be God. But you see, the world we live in now, while the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, this world belongs to Almighty God. For you can't be God. He's already God. You can't rob Him by taking His universe and using it for your intents and purposes. So you're not really able to create your own reality here. The only way you could do that is to go create your own universe. You say, but preacher, I can't do that. That's right, and you can't be God. So if you're going to have a reality in your life, it has to be based on truth. And the truth that is the basis of reality is found in the written Word of God. That's why it's so important to study the Bible. That's why down here through Romans chapter 6, as he begins to talk about the life of the believer in time on planet Earth and how God has taken you, not just forgiven all of your sins and not just justified you and made you right with God and acceptable before Him, but also how He's put His life in you and how He has equipped you and me as believers to live on planet Earth as His representatives, as the vehicles through whom He expresses Himself and through whom He lives. You see, if He weren't living through us, he would have no means of expressing and working today, because that's what the body is about. That's what your body is about. It's the vehicle through which you live. You walk around on the earth and you express yourself. The body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ is the vehicle through whom God actively works and functions today. He's equipped us to live on planet Earth for His glory. And in Romans 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8, Paul goes into the details of how the Christian life functions, how God's equipped us that way. And the thing he starts with, he says, don't you know? Know ye not? Verse 6, he says, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing that Christ. This stuff we're supposed to know here. I want you to notice in verse number 6, something that God wants you to understand about who you are in Christ if you're a believer today. Now, this is the difference between religion and striving and trying to live up to standards to become a child of God. Just relax, will you, if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer today, just listen carefully and see the wonderful things God has for you if you'll just trust His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what God is doing. Here's what the Christian life is about. And He wants you to know it. The Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance. You've got to understand what it is that God's doing so that you can walk by faith in what God's doing. So he says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice there is an absolute, completely, and total victory program here. The old man is crucified in the past. Our old man is crucified. Why? That in the future the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not right now serve sin. So there's this complete total victory that God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you're going to understand that passage, you're going to have to think just for a minute about what's going on here. In your makeup, in who you are as an individual, as a human. The Bible says that you have a spirit, and if I draw some circles up here, I'm kind of round, it might make you think of me, but I'm going to draw three circles up here to illustrate something, not to try to suggest that you're as round as the circle or round as I am, maybe, but you have a spirit. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, chapter 5, verse number 23 and 24. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Now, I know what we usually say. We usually say body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Because we work from the outside in, God works from the inside out. It's interesting. Now, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Your spirit, when you're a natural man, just the way you're born into this world, just born, you have a spirit, and the Bible says that your spirit is dead. That is, you are spiritually dead. That means you are cut off from God, alienated. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, the definition of spiritual death is not that your spirit doesn't work and function and operate, because it does. It functions and operates in itself and with other spirits, but you are alienated from the life of God, cut off from God. And death in the Bible is separation, alienation. Your soul is darkened. That is, there is no light in it. There is no understanding in it. There is no divine revelation. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The soul doesn't have any light. Their foolish heart was darkened. Romans chapter 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Their foolish heart was darkened. And the heart is the mentality, the thinking process of the soul, and then your body. And that body is called the body of sin. And what we call the sin nature, some people call it the old sin nature, but you can call it that, but you don't get a new sin nature, so it's really your sin nature resides in your body. Now, you need to understand something about the nature of sin that resides in you. Now, this, I understand that the model that I'm putting up here is might be a little strange to you, but you need to understand who you are and how you function. This is real psychology, by the way. Psuche is a Greek word for soul. Psychology is literally the study of the soul or the inner man. Your inner person is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. That's pneuma and psuche. And what they're studying is the psychology. It's just that Greek word for soul with the study of, put onto it, psych, psuche, ology. This is Bible, the Bible model. Now you can go to, Freud and Jung and Rogers and Skinner and the rest of the boys and get to all kind of models of man. Here's the Bible model of a man. And when I say a man, I'm a woman. Mankind is what I'm talking about. It's interesting. The ladies sometimes get upset when you talk about man and say they're leaving us out. I don't know if you ever noticed, but woman has man in it, and somebody said, well, wow, man. And every man that ever lived looked at a woman and said, wow, wow, man. And that's who she is. She's part of man, and it isn't to leave it out. The Bible talks about man, generally it's talking about mankind, humanity, humankind. Spirit, soul, and a body. Now, in the passage here, Romans 6:6, know ye not that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Come over with me to chapter number 7. Chapter 7, verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, and by the way, this right here is your flesh, if you didn't catch on to that. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That is, in the members of our body, our hands, our arms, our eyes, and so forth, the motions of sin dominated and ran the vehicle in which our soul and our spirit reside. Now, and by the way, your soul, your spirit is what gives you God consciousness. That's why it's said to be dead. It's alienated, can't get in touch with God. No, your soul is the ego, that's the you. That's the personal part of you that is your own personal consciousness of self. There you are. And of course, your body is the vehicle that carries that around and relates to the planet and the things in the planet. Chapter 7, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, right here, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Verse number 24. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? In other words, this body of sin over here has a problem. It has what we call a sin nature. Now, your sin nature has human good, and it has human evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your old nature has strengths and weaknesses. It has a bent over here toward aestheticism and culture and refinement. And it has a bent over here to lasciviousness and wickedness. And there are some of you folks watching me right now, and your old nature was trained toward aestheticism, and your strengths and your weaknesses run that way. And sometimes, we think, well, they're a little more sophisticated and highbrow people and a little more educated and a little more refined, a little more cultured, and that's good, see? And it's the higher things in humanity and the higher things of life, and so that must be human good and the strengths of humanity, and that must be, they're religious. Religion will find itself over here, see? Then there's some of you watching, and your old man was trained in lasciviousness. and drunkenness and drugs, you know, you snort it up your nose, stick it in your arm, or you guzzle it down your throat, or you suck it into your lung. You know, you got that kind of problems. And maybe you're a sex addict, or maybe you're a robber or a thief or a murderer or something of that nature. And it went over toward just the unrestrained lasciviousness of life, see. Now, one side goes over here toward pride, and the other one over here just open wickedness, and that's the weaknesses side. Each of these have a weakness and a strength. I want you to see that's all, no matter what of it, he says up here, he says all of our righteousnesses, all of the good things we try to do are as filthy rags. God won't accept them. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you've got a multifaceted old nature in here that you inherited from Adam that you started out with when you were born that way. Now, when you got saved, something radically happened to you. And you've got to understand this. If your Christian life is going to function, if you're going to get over acting the way you always acted, on the basis of all of this stuff, sin complicates life. Old man Bob Jones used to say that simplicity is truth's most becoming garb. The greatest garment that you'll ever see truth in is simplicity. And Paul talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. And folks, this stuff isn't complicated in the Bible. Sin complicates life. I have people come and sit down with me as a pastor, and they begin to describe the circumstances and the situations in their life, and I tell you what, a barrel of fish hooks couldn't be any crookeder, any more tangled up and messed up and wound up, and you'd never get their lives straightened out with all the things. They do this over here and that, three or four, and their life is just a snarled up mess. Maybe your life's that way today. Sin complicates things. That Bible says God does things decently and in order. In order. Sin doesn't do that. This stuff over here will make a mess out of your life. And it's there. You got it as a believer. You had it when you were an unbeliever and you still got it. You see what that verse says? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, my friend, you know something? When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, all the blessed thought of it, that old man right there died with him. Our old man is crucified with him. As many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You were buried. What's buried? The body's buried, brother. God wants you to understand that old man's been crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. There's a glory side over here, but you got to understand, God put away something. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? That. The word that means the purpose or the intent. And there are two that's in the verse. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That body of sin is going to be eliminated in your life one day. Now, it's not eliminated when you get saved. How do you know that? Well, I'm saved. I'm still in it. Why? Why did God leave me here in this old body of sin with all these problems down here? Because, folks, if I didn't have this body, I couldn't function down here. When he saved me, December 31st, 1962, he could have taken me to be with him. But as long as I'm going to live on this planet, I got to live in this body of flesh. Because this is the house, the earthly house of this tabernacle that I live in. And for me to get out of this house means to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he leaves me down here in it. But he tells me that one day I'm going to get a new one. That thing's going to be destroyed. Out there in the future one day, he's going to take our vile bodies and change them and make them like his glorious body. He's talking about the resurrection. So one day, I'm not going to just be saved from the penalty and the power of sin. I'm going to be saved from the very presence of it. That's going to be gone. But in the meantime, between salvation and death of the rapture, in time in here, in the meantime, the rest of that verse, that henceforth, that right now, from now on in time, we should not serve sin. Now that old man isn't destroyed, and you don't get rid of him till the resurrection. But my friend, you don't wait till the resurrection to start serving God and to not serve sin. You see, we start not serving sin the moment we trust Christ as our Savior, because God has set us free from that old man over here. He's taken this dead spirit, and you know what he did with your dead spirit? He made it alive. That's wonderful, and that's regeneration. You hear people talk about being born again? Well, what the new birth is in John chapter 3, and I know it has to do with the nation Israel, but what it has to do with is that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and the living Christ comes and takes up his residence with our spirit, by his spirit in our inner man. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, God is a spirit. So what part of you would he live with? You got a part that is the same kind of stuff. See, essence would seek essence. He regenerates your spirit. His spirit gives life to your dead spirit. Now you're no longer alienated from the life of God, from the plan and the purpose of what God's doing. Now you're made a part of it. His spirit regenerates you, indwells you. Of course, your spirit and soul indwell your body. He indwells you, and he is the one who, through the Word of God, empowers you. Now, here we are. Let's get the picture. You've got a live spirit. Your body is considered to be dead. It's crucified with Christ. It's gonna be destroyed, and you don't serve sin. Sin's in it, but you're not to follow the sin that's in it. You're set free from that. Look down at Romans chapter 6. Verse number 17, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Now notice this. You were the slaves of sin. You were a slave to sin. That means you were bound to it. You were chained to it. You were handcuffed to it. You couldn't get loose. You had a ball and chain of sin that controlled you. That's the way you were before you got saved. You know what Jesus Christ said? I know people don't believe this. It's what Christ said. He says in John 8, he said, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Now, I know you think you can smoke a little cigarette and drink a little booze and cuss a little bit and lie a little bit and cheat a little bit and steal a little bit and lust a little bit and be angry a little bit and irritated a little bit and watch somebody do something you think you can do better and just get a little peeved at them a little bit. You think you can do it a little bit and be okay. Jesus said, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. That's hard, isn't it? You know what that means? That means unless you have some radical surgery in your life, you're going to be a slave to sin all your life. Do you understand what God Almighty did for you when he saved you? You don't have to go try to be free from sin. You don't have to say, oh, God, do something for me. God already did it. He set you free. He cut you loose from sin. How'd he do it? Folks, he performed a circumcision. He performed a cutting away of the flesh. How? By the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you got saved, God set you free. Go on, read the rest of that verse. Romans 6:17. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Isn't it wonderful to know that sound doctrine can set you free? You know something, if you'd quit identifying yourself and defining yourself by who you used to be and start defining yourself by who God says you are now, you know what that'd do? That'd give you the opportunity to enjoy the freedom that God has given you in His Son. You see, the way you enjoy the freedom that God has given you in Christ, when he sets you free. We used to sing a song down south that said, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bars of prison for me. Free. Free for what? Free to go live in sin? Why, you were doing that to start with. Free what? Made us the servants of righteousness. Free now to go serve God. You know what he says? He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Come with me to Galatians chapter number 2. The time's going to be gone. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What's he mean? The old man, the old body's been crucified. But I'm alive. I'm still here. I'm not dead. It hadn't been destroyed yet. I hadn't been taken to glory yet. I've just been conditioned. I've just been equipped so that I don't have to serve sin. The old man's dead. But you know, dead men can't do much. I mean, go down to the cemetery and ask them to do something for you. Go over to the morticians, ask them to do something for you. They can't do very much. They just lay around. Now, they're free from all the evil and the wicked and the claims of the law. They're not going to go out and do much, you know, but they're not going to be much. You're dead. You're free. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, a living guy, a guy that's alive, can do something for you. He can serve. So God crucified the old man, put it out of the way, set us free. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm still here, equipped with a divine enabling to serve Him. Nevertheless, the life, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live in the flesh, here I am, still living in my body of flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know something? The Christian life is an absolute impossibility to live. You'll never live it on your own. The only person in all of the universe who can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Christ, Christian, it's Christ's life in you. He's the only one that can live it. He's the only one God intends to live it. That's why God has equipped you and God has done some things for you spiritually in your inner man. He set you free from sin. He's taken the darkness away and given you light, the light of life through His Word. And as you follow and by faith live in it, then Christ lives His life through your body. He's deposited His life in us and it lives out through our bodies of flesh as we walk by faith. Till next week, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that you'd like you to have that go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Power Over Sinning. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 257. That's tape offer number 257. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best to be next time for another Message of Grace.